hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me on today's episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson. And we're going global today. So when most people think about healthcare innovation, they think of the U.S. or Europe, but there is a massive transformation happening all over the world in places like Pakistan that doesn't get nearly enough attention. And with very ambitious projects like the Jinnah Medical Complex in Islamabad, aiming to redefine what's possible, the question isn't exactly can it be built, but can it truly change the system? And to help me unpack that today is Dr. Mohammed Fahim Anwar. Dr. Anwar is a physician, but he's also the chief operating officer of the Jinnah Medical Complex. Dr. Anwar, welcome to I Don't Care.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Kidd.
It's wonderful to have you on. So the first question for my audience, which is primarily in the United States, what do we fundamentally misunderstand about how healthcare actually works in Pakistan?
I think the biggest misconception is that Pakistan's healthcare system is uniformly underdeveloped. In reality, it is highly bimodal. On one hand, we have centers of excellence with outcomes comparable to high-income countries, particularly in urban, private, and some philanthropic institutions. And on the other hand, a large proportion of our population relies on under-resourced public health facilities or out-of-pocket care. Another misconception and misunderstanding is the scale. Pakistan serves over 240 million people with less than 1% of GDP spent on public health care. The system is not designed around the insurance and integrated networks, but rather a fragmented, market-driven model where access is largely determined by geography and income. So the issue is not the lack of capability. It is the lack of system design and equitable distribution.
Interesting. Very interesting. So Pakistan has world-class clinicians, but really it appears inconsistent access. So what's the single biggest barrier preventing that equitable care today?
If forced to choose one, it is financial fragmentation. Over 60 to 70% of healthcare spending in Pakistan is out of pocket, which creates delayed care, catastrophic expenditures, and inequity. Even when the facilities exist, patients often cannot afford diagnostics, medications, or continuity of care. This is compounded by weak primary care infrastructure as well. But ultimately, without risk pooling and financial protection mechanisms, access will remain uneven regardless of how many hospitals are built.
You sent me the press release on the Jinnah Medical Complex, and I was just incredibly impressed by what was said in the release. Yeah, and please correct me if I'm wrong. From what I recall reading, you plan to open 100 beds in 2027, but by 2030, you're going to have over 1,100 beds. So tell my audience a little bit about, you know, the concept of the Jinnah Medical Complex, how that got started, and how you plan on staging the expansion of the project.
Jinnah Medical Complex, it is a novel project of government of Pakistan, and which will be established in capital city, Islamabad. And it is a coronary care hospital, and it is a 1,450-bedded healthcare facility. And it will have more than 10 centers of excellence, where more than, you can say, millions of patients will be catered. And actually, the Jinnah Medical Complex and Research Center will be, you can say, a state-of-the-art healthcare facility in Pakistan. And we have planned to open its door with 100 beds in the mid of next year, 2027, inshallah. And we shall ramp up it to 1,450 beds within, you can say, next 4 or 5 years. And it will be a very, you can say, there will be a paradigm shift in public healthcare facility in Pakistan.
So what is success going to look like for this hospital once it's ultimately open?
I think success should be measured in three dimensions. Not only the building, not only the infrastructure, but we should focus on clinical outcomes at the scale. Not just high-end procedures, but measurable improvements in survival rates, infection control, and complication rates across large patient volumes. And second one is the impact on the system. Mm-hmm. We should function as a hub for that, strengthen the ecosystem, training the clinicians, standardizing the protocols, and supporting secondary hospitals through a referral network. And third one is the financial and operational discipline. A sustainable payer mix, efficient throughput, and cost control. If it becomes an elite hospital serving a narrow segment, it will fail in its mandate. A true center of excellence is not defined by infrastructure, I think, but by replicability and system influence.
So we've seen large flagship hospitals struggle globally. And my first question along those lines, is this now going to be, once it's ultimately built, will this be the largest hospital in Pakistan?
Can you please repeat your question?
Yes. Well, whenever Jinnah is ultimately completely open, will it be the largest hospital in Pakistan?
We can say that it will be one of the largest hospitals in Pakistan. From infrastructure point of view, even there are some other hospitals which are you can say more bed strength, but actually we have focused in Jinnah Medical Complex. Actually, we have focused the things as I have already mentioned, that financial and operational discipline, and we have planned to train our human resource, and we shall develop a system which can be replicable in other hospitals as well. And we have also planned to accredit this health facility from JCIA so that we can provide services at international standards. That's why I think not only the infrastructure, but actual the aim and the objective of this hospital is to, improve the healthcare facility, especially public healthcare facility, to international standards.
Well, I know that according to the public or to the press release that you sent out, this facility is going to rely heavily on international technology and expertise. So how will you balance those global partnerships with building and growing your local capabilities?
I think there are three things that will be, we shall focus on right-sizing complexity. Not every service needs to be at tertiary level. And overbuilding high-end capacity without demand planning leads to inefficiency. And second one, we have focused on operational governance. Clinician-led but professionally managed systems perform better. Many projects fail due to administrative weakness, not the clinical gaps. And similarly, blended financing model we shall apply over in this hospital. Purely public, purely private models both struggle. And sustainable institutions typically combine government support, philanthropy, and paying patients. Mm-hmm. This is the model I think we shall implement at Jinnah Medical Complex and Search Center as well. The key is to design for throughput, efficiency, not just the prestige.
So I know Pakistan has a long history of physicians training abroad. I've had the pleasure of working with many, many Pakistani physicians in my career. And so what are you going to do at Jinnah and really throughout Pakistan to try to reverse that brain drain, to keep your physicians there in Pakistan versus going international?
Actually, it is about stopping the migration and more about creating reasons to return or stay engaged. There are three levels. professional environment. We shall provide a professional environment for our healthcare professionals to access the modern infrastructure, research opportunities, and clinical autonomy as well. And the second one is the compensation parity, relative or you can say not absolute, but competitive packages within the regional context we shall offer. And third one is the purpose-driven work. Many diaspora physicians are willing to return if they can contribute meaningfully to system building, not just clinical services. And hybrid models such as visiting faculty and joint appointments and tele mentorship can also convert brain drain into a brain circulation, I think.
Now, I read about the commitment to advancing cancer care. So where's Pakistan today in oncology, and what's realistically achievable over the next 5 to 10 years?
Pakistan has made, I think, progress in oncology, particularly in urban cancer centers. But still, challenges remain. Late-stage presentation is very common in our country. And similarly, the limited screening programs is also one of the, you can say, big challenge. And uneven access to radiotherapy and systemic therapies, it is also one of the challenges. And in the next 5 to 10 years, realistic goals, I think, include in our setup is expanding early detection programs for breast, cervical, and oral cancers. Increasing radiotherapy capacity per capita. Similarly, developing regional cancer networks instead of isolated centers. There will be a registry on oncology as well. And introducing precision oncology selectively, not universally. The biggest gain will come from early diagnosis and standardized care pathways, not just advanced therapies.
I know one thing that's been able to help us impact oncology care here in the United States is, frankly, our emphasis on preventative measures. You know, the anti-smoking campaigns that we've had, you know, skin cancer campaigns and things along those lines. Are you, Jinnah, looking at doing anything along those lines, not only in oncology, but in cardiac care as well? Really emphasizing those preventative programs that can certainly keep your patients from ever having to enter those programs.
Yeah, actually, we always, in my, you can say, in previous professional career as well, I believe that a hospital is not only a curative site. It is a rehabilitative place. It is a health promotive space place as well. And we shall engage our community. And we engage especially our youth in health promotion as well as on prevention side. And we shall commemorate all those, you can say, international days like Hepatitis Day and cancer, you can say, breast cancer month in October, then the Diabetes Day, similarly World Health Day. And there are different opportunities to create awareness among our population. And we have strong plan to engage our community, to educate our community, as well as we shall educate on different diseases and prevention side.
With the construction of an entirely new medical complex, you have a lot of opportunities in and around digital health. What are your plans around that, and how can that help you really leapfrog those traditional healthcare models by using digital models, you know, such as AI or whatever?
There is a real opportunity here, and there are many hospitals in Pakistan where electronic medical record is being implemented, and there are many hospitals where the HMIS is fully implemented, and at Jinnah Medical Complex and Research Center, it will be a hub for digital health. And Pakistan has actually high mobile penetration, which creates a foundation for telemedicine for rural access. Similarly, digital health records in new institutions and artificial assisted diagnostics in constant settings as well. However, infrastructure gaps still matter, especially in data integration, regulatory frameworks, and interoperability. But technologies alone would not fix the system. We still need infrastructure, regulations, and integration. And digital can accelerate progress, but it can't replace the system design.
If I can ask you to be brutally honest, you know, what's one thing about the Pakistani healthcare system that leaders know needs to change, but they really aren't addressing enough?
We are underinvesting in primary care. There is a disproportionate focus on tertiary hospitals, while primary care remains fragmented and underdeveloped. Every high-performing system gets this right. We are not moving fast enough on it. And without strong primary care, cost escalates and hospital becomes overcrowded and preventable diseases go unmanaged. Mm-hmm. Every successful health system invests heavily in gatekeeping, prevention, and continuity of care. Pakistan knows this, but progress is very slow because primary care is less visible politically than the large hospitals.
You have a very similar issue to what we have here in the States, because the same thing occurs for us in primary care, because obviously the surgical and interventional specialties frankly pay more. And so fewer people want to go into primary care. And that's why a lot of our more rural parts of the country are really suffering with healthcare issues, because they can't get primary care physicians to go out there. So if you solve that, please share your solutions with us so that we might be able to make some headway in a great part of our country as well. So it's really interesting, you know, what you're doing at Jinan. You're certainly thinking about the future of healthcare. But where do you personally want to see a bigger impact in Pakistan and internationally through your efforts over the next decade?
I think the biggest impact is not building a single institution. It is building a system that works consistently. And the highest average leverage lies in system design, not individual institutions. It means the building models that integrate primary, secondary, and tertiary care, and also creating the training ecosystem that multiply talent in our healthcare system in Pakistan, and demonstrating financially sustainable healthcare delivery systems. The goal is to move from isolated excellence to system-wide reliability. That's why we are focused on these things.
So for the United States healthcare executives that are listening to my show, why should they care about what's going on in Pakistani healthcare today?
I think there are a few reasons. There is scale and innovation under constraint. Pakistan operates within limited resources, which forces cost innovation and efficiency models that are increasingly relevant even in high-cost systems like the U.S. And secondly is the talent pipeline as well. A significant proportion of global healthcare workforce has ties to South Asia. And engagement with Pakistan is indirectly can in investment in future talent ecosystem. And next will be the strategy global health relevance is also healthcare challenge, such as infectious diseases, population growth, and chronic disease transition are the global problems. What works in Pakistan can inform solutions in other emerging markets as well. So optional addition, you may consider including what strong primary care backbone, integrated referral system, and digital first infrastructure.
So in the last few minutes that we have, any final words, thoughts for my audience about other aspects of Pakistani healthcare or Jinnah specifically, or those long-term strategies?
Like other countries, Pakistan has also been facing challenges in the healthcare system. But our healthcare leadership, especially our chairman, Dr. Syed Akhtar, has focused and also I've worked with other healthcare networks in Pakistan, like Indus Health Network and Aga Khan, Shaukat Khanum, you can say Shifa International and Rifa International Hospital. There are many, you can say, they have been contributing well to improve the healthcare system in Pakistan. People have focused, and especially the biggest, you can say, change in Pakistan is the need of, you can say, electronic medical record and then disease registries so that we can produce a evidence-based, you can say, data. And on the basis of that data, we can plan well and we can, you can say, allocate our resources and we rationalize our resources and we can produce an impact on life of our community. We wish to focus in other healthcare systems as well. The real, you can say, outcome or the impact should be the quality of life of our people.
Dr. Anwar, this has been fascinating. I must admit, I knew very, very little about Pakistani healthcare. And so thank you for enlightening me and hopefully our audience as well. But folks, what's happening in Pakistan is just a window into the future of global healthcare, where access, innovation, and sustainability are all colliding. So projects like the Jinnah Medical Complex will either become a model or a lesson, and the difference will come down to leadership and execution. So I really appreciate you being here on today's episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson, and I look forward to you joining me on our next episode. Take care.